Welcome folks to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. And for this Taboo Monthly Edition, I am joined by my friend, Aaron. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you.
It is good to be back to talk politics. Mark is not with us this month, as his busy life has caught up with him for at least this month. So we hope to hear from him next month. But until then, we will be joined by Aaron, who... Aaron, what are your feelings about as far as talking about politics? I know I just kind of like threw it out, invited you last minute, but how do you like to talk politics typically?
So I know that's not a loaded question, but you're probably going to get a loaded answer. So I don't mind. There's very few subjects I mind talking about. So it's like, politics isn't a subject that I try to avoid or something like that. Lately, I do tend to get bored with it when we're talking about extreme, like when people, something that bothered me the other day is I realized how many friends, particularly conservative friends, although I do have some liberal friends who they post things about like, I don't like, I'll see things all the time about like, oh, Biden is guilty of treason and these people need to be put in handcuffs and sent to jail and they're doing this and they stole the election, they're letting in people into the border and everything. And I wonder at what point do people stop posting about it on Facebook and actually take action? If they believe that there's treason, then at what point do they do something about it, or do they just keep posting memes on Facebook until they die and nothing it's all. So I get a little bored with politics lately as it pertains to like certain issues like that, because it's like you can only talk so much and that really doesn't accomplish much. On the other hand, I think that I should be the king of the United States and I could make the policies and run a successful American kingdom, but that's a whole other subject.
It's a whole different topic. That's funny. I mean, in their defense, maybe that's what they know best, as far as like that's all they know how to contribute, as far as like just bringing awareness to the issues. Otherwise, like, not everyone's called in to actually like go into public office. But the only other thing they could do besides bringing awareness is go to the voting booth and vote for the person you believe best lines up with their values. For today's topics, we have two topics. Both of them have to do with social media. And I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on at least one of the topics we'll be talking about. It actually has to do with in our own backyard here in the state of Florida, because as of recent, the state of Florida signed by Governor Ron DeSantis anyway, there is a new social media ban for minors. Well, kind of. So the first part of the bill, this is from NBC News Today, it says that Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill that will prohibit children younger than 14 years old from joining social media in the state. Those who are 14 or 15 will need parents' consent before they join a platform. It also directs social media accounts to delete the existing accounts of those who are under. Companies that fail to do so will be sued on behalf of the child who creates the account on the platform. The minor could be awarded up to $10,000 in damages, according to the bill. Companies found to be in violation of the law would also be liable for $50 per violation. And apparently as well, parents who have children between the ages of 14 and 15, they can also ask the social media companies to drop their kids' accounts for those who are between the ages of 14 and 15. And so it appears like 16 is like the consent age for someone to have a social media account. However, now they all have to get an ID now to prove they can have these accounts to begin with and prove their age. And that includes even webs. So the thing about this law that I noticed is that it goes beyond just social media. It actually goes even further and goes into like adult websites too, where now you have to, if you're gonna go into a website, an adult website, mostly pornography, you have to show an ID now that you're 18 years old. So all that said, my initial reaction when I hear that bill And I read the bill myself. And when I read the bill, I have mixed feelings about it. The good aspect about it is when it comes to adult websites. Personally, if I was King Ken of the United States, I would ban pornography at this point. But in a republic, living in the republic that we live in, this would probably be a good first step to at least killing the market.
Yeah.
Because especially how the pornography industry, there's a lot of connections and crossovers with the human trafficking ring in the pornography industry. So in that aspect, I find it good. On the other hand, it does come across to me like the government in Florida is trying to play mommy and daddy in a way and taking the rights of the parents away, as far as if the parent wants to allow their kid to use social media at below the age of 14, they're basically saying, we know better for your child than you do. At least that's how it comes across to me. But I am curious to hear from an actual parent, like, how do you feel about this law that Governor Ron DeSantis has signed and will go into effect this summer?
So I think ultimately it could be a good thing. I'd really be curious to know how exactly they're going to enforce something like that. I mean, I know they mentioned like the NDEs and parental consent and all of that. And I mean, not for every social media. I mean, we're not just talking Facebook, we're talking Twitter or Instagram, Reddit. Technically, YouTube is social media. So all of these different things, I mean, there's such a variety of social media. Are all of these websites going to be expected to put certain things in place to verify the age of every single person? And also the implication that it has for adults. How do they know that I'm not underage with my already existing Facebook? So I'm really curious how this will take effect. I don't necessarily think it's a deal if it's is effective. I don't believe children have any business being on social media.
Right.
So I'll say that outright. I probably have, or more of the adults don't have a place on social media. I read in one article, somebody said that it's a violation of the First Amendment. It's like, well, not necessarily, because like a child can't go out and buy a firearm, and that's the Second Amendment. So, I mean, there are parameters, and ultimately children are subject to their parents. And so
Right. That's
the thing, you know, if their parent decides to make an that the children can use, that's one thing. Maybe we'll see more family accounts. Who knows? I don't know. But I don't see how they can really enforce something like this.
So are you critiquing the bill based on the effectiveness of it versus the idea of it?
Yeah, I'm actually in support of the idea. I've been thinking about it kind of back and forth. Like, you know, ultimately it's the parents' decision on what their children do, but that doesn't mean that the things that I personally believe that children shouldn't be allowed to do should still be accessible to them, you know? So like, If you're a parent who, let's say on New Year's Eve, lets your children have a glass of champagne, maybe after the age of 12, we'll say 12 and up. For some countries, like Eastern European countries and things like that, they may be like 12. Man, that's a high age. We let them drink at 4, you know.
Right.
You know, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, I don't think children should be able to go to the liquor store and buy a bottle of champagne or buy any kind of alcohol. So it's ultimately what the parents allow their children to do. But I still don't believe it should be. That means it should be accessible to children. And I think social media is one of those things that it's not going to produce any positive result. Children being
right.
Social media, most people being on social media, aside from staying connected with like friends and family and yada yada, it really hasn't done any good for society or individuals as a whole.
I see. So then what would you say to the pushback that may come from that as far as, okay, yes, if you personally as a parent do not believe children should be using social media, you know, at a certain age, then that is your parental right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they will push back by saying, but that doesn't give the right, doesn't give the government the right to take that freedom away to decide for their children. So if, let's say again, like if another parent decides, well, I don't see the harm in my 10-year-old having an Instagram account or whatever social media account. If they don't see the harm in that with this bill, they would say that this law takes that right away for the parents.
I want to look up that law again. Like, what exactly? Let me see. Those who are 14 or 15. That was another thing I was hung up on, by the way. Why is it 14 or 15? Like, why isn't it just 14 or 15?
You know, I personally just, I think, so part of my issue with the bill for me is the inconsistency with that. Just have it to where, like, just pick a number and say, like,
mm-hmm.
anyone under the age of 16, like, you have to get parental consent.
Yeah.
But it's...
Yeah, I was just hung up that it said 14 or 15.
I think they're trying to convey between the ages of 14 and 15. Like, that's where you have to
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. So
yeah.
16 and up is acceptable. So
yeah.
There's two ages. That's why it got mixed. It mixed me up because it's 14 and 15. I see now. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, okay, never mind.
No.
That was a misunderstanding on my part.
Yeah.
If it was like 14 through 16, I think I would have gotten it clear.
Yeah.
I get it.
So between the ages of 14 and 15, a parent can decide, okay, we'll allow you to have access to social media and have a social media account. For anyone who is under the age of 14, that's where the government takes that right away.
Wait, no.
Says okay. No. So do you believe that that's a good idea to take that right away from parents? Or do you believe that parents should have the right to make that decision for themselves?
No, I mean, again, I would put that in the same camp as like liquor or tobacco or things like that. I think making something that we know is not good for kids inaccessible to them, and
mm-hmm.
at least until a certain age, I think is treading more on the track of wisdom than of like, oh, they're stealing a right away. Like, what right do your kids have to be on social media where there's, you know, they always talk about like bullying happening on the internet, or, you know, them coming across things that, you know, they shouldn't. You know, it's like parents have a lot of rights, but there's even some rights that parents shouldn't have, or, well, I guess we wouldn't call those rights, but there's certain things that parents shouldn't have a right to do, right? So,
yeah.
Like, it would be, you know, replace social media with sex, you know? Like, is it
right.
Okay if the parents are consenting to let their children have sex? It's like, no. It's actually not a right that the parent has. That's just common wisdom to know, like, yeah, this decision doesn't need to be in the hands of the parents, because now we're getting into... law, we're getting into moral law. So I don't think it's a right of parents or a right of children to be on social media.
So what would you say then to the critics out there that will push back on what you said as far as like the attention of the bill? Like, it's not about, we're not talking about the merits of the bill anymore. We're talking about like the attention of why the Republicans in Florida passed this bill. And a lot of conspiracies, I'll say, and I say that loosely because I don't want to, I think that term has been overused, watered down to where if you even disagree with the effectiveness of like the vaccines, for example, then you're a conspiracy theorist, whatever. Anyway,
yeah, right.
Anyways, but they'll say that one of the reasons, the main reason why they wanted to pass this bill was because the new generation, a lot of them are on social media, especially apps like TikTok, which we'll get into later. And a lot of them tend to vote Democrat. And so this was a way for the Republican voter base, for the Republican legislator to control that base, if you will, and try to disenfranchise a voting demographic. So what would you, do you have any pushback to that? Do you think there's any merit to that? I think I have mixed feelings when I hear that. Like, yeah, I can kind of see how it could possibly disenfranchise voters.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, if we're just talking from like a moral and ethical perspective, you know, from a biblical, you know, perspective, wisdom, social media, there's a lot of propaganda that comes from social media, especially when it comes to social issues. And social media, I would venture to say, is not friendly to a biblical worldview. And so if we are blocking minors from the age from 14 and under anyway, and say that they do not have the right to that kind of access, then I think it is a way for those to the that younger generation to be protected from the devil's schemes that he uses. And devil likes to, will use social media. He does use social media to push lies, and it's very easy to push lies. So I guess it just depends on who is in control, right? It's like if you're on the side, if you're on the secularist side, and you see a social media as a vessel to push like the secularist viewpoints, they're very contrary to law and nature, then you're going to be upset that now you can't control this segment of the population and push that agenda towards them anymore. Whereas if you're on the other side, like our side, we may see that and go, well, actually, this is a good thing because now it gives parents more of a fighting chance to avoid, or not avoid, but like it just gives the younger generation actually a better chance to grow up in the instruction of God. Because now we don't have that. Now that problem has been eliminated from us. But again, are we relying too much on the government to take that initiative to ensure that children are not having that kind of lies being skewed to them? And I know that was a mouthful, what I just said, but...
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the question was specifically. If you could just narrow it down to like a clear question, that I've got you. Because I heard everything you said.
So I guess the first part of the question is like, how do you respond to the critics out there that say this disenfranchises a voter base, basically?
Okay, I'm gonna say something that's a little controversial here.
Okay,
and you should expect lots of that from me, but
it's taboo talk.
Like, oh, this is about to be really taboo. I'm about to quote General Robert E. Lee, the command of the Confederate forces during the Civil War. I'm reading this from Wikipedia because I couldn't find another source. I remembered the quote, but I couldn't find another source. This is Wikipedia.
Yeah.
He was asked, "General, you are very competent to judge the capacity of black men for acquiring knowledge. I want your opinion on that capacity as compared with the capacity of white men." And Lee replied, "I do not think that he is as capable of acquiring knowledge as the white man is." And then he said, "My own opinion is that at this time," that's important, "at this time, they," the black Southerners, "cannot vote intelligently, and that giving them the vote would lead to a great deal of demagogism and lead to embarrassments in various ways." So if you're really sensitive and a snowflake, you might hear something like that and go, "Oh, he hated blacks and he said they weren't as intelligent as white people and they shouldn't be allowed to vote." If you're a rational thinker and can listen and read properly, you would hear that he's saying, number one, at this time, meaning like right after the Civil War, while, you know, energy, tension, all of these things are very high. The slaves were just formally emancipated and everything. So it would only make sense that people would be trying to manipulate, you know, freed black men for votes.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen a lot of that since American blacks have gained the right to vote. And I say all that to say that I think that that's an issue in today's culture, not just with social media, but with a lot of colleges and universities, influencers. I mean, if you look at like probably like 98 in that range, like in the 90% range, most actors, singers, you know, famous people are all left-leaning. And yeah, so that has a certain kind of influence on people. And so I would apply what General Elise said to the young generation or the younger generation of today. Even some of the older generation, I see people are very swayed by the popular opinion. It seems right. It feels right. This person who I respect is saying to do this. This person who I admire says they're not voting for this person or that we should vote for this person. So there's a lot of emotional manipulation. And I think having young people getting or being informed by these sort of outlets, you know, through social media and things like that, that they're not making informed decisions, but they're making very biased decisions based on what's popular and what's not. And for instance, go to a website like Reddit and say, find a subreddit or something, or any, it could be any subreddit, and just mention any conservative value or view that you might hold, and you will get attacked by the majority of people on there. Because it's like, you know, it's like a big echo chamber. So again, I would say that I think people being informed on how they should vote, I think social media is not the correct place to go to. I don't know if that quite answered your question, but I don't think social media is the place to get information about politics. It's, you're going to get the very worst of it from social media.
So from your perspective, that criticism then that it would disenfranchise an entire voter base is mute because social media is just not a place they should be getting information anyway.
Yeah, it's not news. Not news, and it can't replace the news because it's like I'm gonna use some foul language here. Everybody with an asshole has an opinion. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you get on social media. Everybody's opinion. And it's like, how can you decide anything for yourself if all you're doing is getting your information from all sorts of people with all sorts of different opinions? Like, it's good to have conversations with people and like figure out where people are at and what they think about this. But when it's constantly flooded at you all day, every day, from every time you pick up your phone or go to your computer or even your television, and it's like, it's way too much. And it takes away the work that should be involved when making decisions in regards to voting and things. I think it takes away a lot of like honest research.
Well, I guess you could imply that logic though, as far as like, I'm sure you've heard the expression, like, don't believe not everything on the internet is true. Like, that can be applied to the whole internet if you really want to get to the nitty gritty, from my perspective anywhere.
Definitely.
And frankly, like this Florida bill, the only reason why I even know about this bill is because I saw it on Instagram. And so it can be a good source for information, I think. Now, whether or not you have the education to make proper discernment about whether or not the news is valid or not, I think that is what's missing in all of this. And I think maybe a bit, in my perspective anyway, a better way to go about it is like pick an age, right? Say 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you want your kid to have a social media account, then why don't we do what we do when it comes to driving? Like if you're 15 years old, you have to get a permit. You have to learn like the laws of how to drive. So why not have something where we can have like a course about how to responsibly use social media for both the parent and the child? That way there's more awareness as far as like what to look out, like red flags, if you will, as far as what to look out for in a post that seems like misinformation, if you will. And again, I say that loosely, not understanding that not everything on social media is misinformation. But I guess from my perspective, I guess I don't completely agree with the full-on ban. Maybe like an education course, like I said, what we do when it comes to driving permits, even when it comes to carrying a gun. Like, I think, I'm not sure the laws in Florida anyway, but I know in some states, like, you have to take some kind of firearm course if you're under a certain age. And so
Florida, you just need a trigger finger and you're good to go.
Okay. It's not in the state of Florida, but some other states, you do have, if you want to have like a license to carry, then you have to take some kind of course. And so we do it with other aspects when it comes to attaining like the ability to use something. So I see that, and I think social media is kind of fits in that realm of maybe we should apply it here too, as far as like if you're under the age of 16, let's say, and you're a parent and you're okay with your kid having a social media account, then there should be proper guidance of, and it's proper guides as far as like how to manage your social media account. And maybe have even like something on there where under the age of 18, like there's certain posts that a child cannot see, period. They cannot engage with, period. And I will say that the one thing I do really like about this law is the ID factor. And I guess, which really is more towards like the adult websites. I think that's just common sense. I feel like a lot of people, especially young men who get addicted to pornography, like it starts before they're even the age where they can vote. So that's where really the addiction.
Yeah, way before that.
Yeah. So if they can have, like, I think I definitely would have benefited from a law like that, to where a adult website would have been forced to have the ID before I had any access to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's my personal bias, because I'm not a parent, and obviously I probably will have a different opinion when I have kids. Who knows? But I definitely think it's like, it's a step in the right direction, but I think it misses the mark, personally. I think there could have been another way to go about it, but that's just like a different philosophy as far as like what's how the government should regulate social media, I guess. So,
yeah.
Speaking of social media, though, now we're getting more into like more for the adults here, where, and I know you have a TikTok account, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And so there, the House of Representatives, about a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago, they just passed a bill where essentially they want to force the social media company of TikTok to sell from a Chinese company to an American company. Otherwise, they have to be forced to shut down, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the context of adults anyway, I think maybe you and I may have a little more common ground, because I have a TikTok as well. And I think personally that TikTok, like I said about social media, like social media can be a good source of information. And TikTok is also one of those places where you can get a good source of information as well. For example, one of the only reasons why we even knew about a year or two ago about the Cubans protesting was because they were using TikTok videos, and they were sharing it on their TikToks, and went viral, and people were picking up like, oh, they're protesting their own government over there. And so, so in a way, it's a threat to communism, if you think about it. And the Chinese government, actually, ironically, banned their people from using TikTok. And so what does that say? And for me, it says that it's a threat to communism. And so I question the motivations of the people in the House that passed this, that say it's for national security reasons because of China, because the Chinese government banned it from their own people. And so is it really about national security, or is it about control? Are they just upset at the fact that they cannot control TikTok like they can control Facebook and Instagram, for example, or Google or YouTube? And I think it sets a bad precedent in the sense of the American government now telling the company, period, because TikTok is ultimately a company, they're in the business of trying to make money. They are telling a company that if you do not fall in line, you will be forced to shut down, which at that point, you have to wonder, is it a violation of the First Amendment? And that's where I would fall on that. That's where I would land on that scale and say that this is a violation of the First Amendment. You can't tell a company you have to sell, otherwise you have to shut down. And I've heard, and I know the arguments out there as far as like, it's not good for, like, it's TikTok is a place where a lot of human trafficking takes place. I think I've heard of that argument. And I know that when it comes to children, especially, like we just talked about a moment ago, that it's very harmful, and there's a lot of lies that get spewed on TikTok. But there's also the flip side, like a lot of truth comes out of TikTok as well. Like I said, like if it weren't for TikTok, would we have known what was happening in Cuba? And again, I look at the fact too, like I said, that China banned TikTok from their own people. And to me, the reason why they did that is because they want to maintain control of their people. So
yeah,
that's my quick soapbox. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm pretty much in agreement, really. It's interesting from what I've heard, and I can't verify this, but I heard that even the Biden administration is for the ban of TikTok. And anything that they're for, I'm very skeptical of. I know that particular administration wants more control over the people. I know a lot of politicians in office want the government to have more control over people. So, like, for instance, the ruling with the House of Representatives, that was like a pretty overwhelming majority vote to ban TikTok. And to me, that's concerning. I don't believe the majority of politicians have the people's best interest at heart. And so when they're coming together to ban something, TikTok's relatively harmless. Again, I wouldn't allow my kids to use it.
Yeah.
But for adults, I don't really see it being much of an issue aside from like maybe losing brain cells. But otherwise, you know, I think there's certain liberties that adults should have that should not be infringed upon. Like, I don't think adults have the right to look at pornography any more than I think a child does. I think that would be something that would be in the best interest of the public to ban. I don't think that's a violation of any constitutional right. I think that, again, that would fall under the guidelines of prudence and wisdom. But I don't see TikTok as being a threat, you know, to the general welfare of our people. And it is actually, out of all the social media platforms, TikTok is probably one of the better places that you can actually get information, because there's a lot of things that you can see that are unfiltered. Like you said, I mean, the government, I think particularly, is it the FBI or the CIA who is really involved with Facebook and YouTube and all of that, and Google, during the quote-unquote pandemic, and basically tell them, like, hey, don't let messages like this go through, don't have videos like this come up. I mean, if you try to Google certain things, and it'll like fill in the words, but like there's certain things you try to Google and it does not fill in those words. It does not want to give you any suggestions. And it's like, interesting that if I want to know who the first king of Poland was, it'll start to autofill the rest of what I'm asking based on like the trajectory of what I'm typing. But if I want to say, well, for instance, what are all the good things that Trump did while in office, I doubt something like that would come up. Or how effective was the coronavirus vaccines? You know, you try to type in certain things like that and you'll notice, oh, it's not autofilling. That's strange. They're because they don't want you to look at those things. And even if you outright Google it, all of the answers that you're going to get for like the first 10 pages are all going to be from sources that are saying the same exact thing. And that's really concerning to me. TikTok, on the other hand, doesn't have that issue because, you know, like you said. Now, one thing I would challenge you on is, you said it's a violation of the First Amendment, but it's not. But TikTok is not an American-owned company, correct?
Correct.
So therefore, they're not protected by the First Amendment, as far as I'm concerned. On the other hand, I think the American citizens should be protected under the First Amendment in the sense of access to information. And so if I want to get my information from a Chinese company or a Russian company or a Mexican company or a South African company, then I should be free to access that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's very clear anti, I don't know. I mean, even still, yeah, I mean, even still, I think we should be able, it's like, should we ban Mein Kampf, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's a book written by Hitler who did awful things. And, you know, this book is like his manifesto.
Yeah.
But it's like, does that mean we shouldn't have access to it?
Yeah.
You know, I think we should have access to all information so that we can make an informed decision.
Yeah. And I would actually, and I'm glad you challenged me because that helped me like kind of clarify my position. Like I would agree absolutely with what you said. As far as like by telling TikTok they need to sell to an American company or else they have to shut down, it's a violation of the First Amendment in the sense of that now when you have like millions of Americans using TikTok, now you're just going to completely shut it down or remove that access from the American people now.
Yeah.
And so from that perspective, I think it's a violation of the First Amendment because who's the government to tell me I can't use TikTok to get certain information now? And
yeah, it's not against TikTok, it's against us.
Yeah. And again, they use it under the guise of national security, and they use it under the guise of, they probably use the guise of, it's a Chinese company, therefore they don't fall under the First Amendment right clause, if you will. But when it comes to access, just having the access to use TikTok, that is a very communist move.
Oh, yeah.
To say, you don't tell the American people, you don't have, like, if TikTok does not obey us and fall in line, you will not have access to TikTok anymore. Like, in order for you to have access to TikTok, the company must fall in line. That's basically the precedence that they're starting to set. And again, I believe, and this is my own tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, I think the real intention behind this is they want control, and they want control of the social media app and control the flow of information. And this is an election year too, so so they can find a way to control the social media app during election year. It'll help the elite political class a lot more. Because I'll be honest, I don't think they like Donald Trump, and he's not, and he's not very, he's definitely not pro-elite, if you will. And so both sides of the elite establishment anyway, do not like Donald Trump. And what happened during the 2020 election? Well, you saw with Twitter when they tried to cover the story of Hunter Biden and the laptop and the corruption with the Biden family. And so, and that may or may have not affected the outcome of the election, perhaps. That was election interference right there. And so would this also fall under the premise that this election interference as well, by trying to tell a social media company that if you do not fall in line and sell to us so we can control the source of information, is this election interference by coercing a company to sell it to an American company so that U.S. government can have control, the source of the flow of information anyway.
Yeah.
So, you have any more thoughts?
No, I think you pretty much summed it up. We're definitely in agreement about that subject. It's definitely a matter of control. And I mean, my only other opinion that I would assert is I think the ban will pass. I think we're heading more into totalitarian government, where things like this are going to keep happening and at an increasingly large amount. I fear that the freedoms that we've perhaps taken for granted for so long are going to start disappearing. And I mean, already the country is hardly recognizable. And if it continues on this route, I see a very good absence for the U.S. people.
That's right.
I think this stuff is just the beginning.
Well, I think I'll add it on this note too. And this is even like on a smaller scale, like a more micro scale, like if you take the politics out and the source of information, as far as like political current events and everything like that, it's also going back to what you said about Google and like how they suppress information. Like Google's also in particular about like what businesses, let's say you want to look for a restaurant, like you're new to town and you want to have an authentic experience and feel like you're part of the community, right? Google will suppress certain companies now. Like Google is very pick. There's an algorithm out there anyway that Google will suggest above others. And TikTok is a place for those companies that may feel disenfranchised from a search to promote their business and to gain business because the algorithms don't suppress it like a search engine like Google. So I think in that sense too, it's also hurting like just your average Joe and Jane as well. Like let's say you're not even into politics. Well, if you shut that social media site down, now you've affected like thousands, if not millions of businesses now that rely on TikTok to promote their business. I mean, you're a published author. You've promoted your book through TikTok as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I promoted my content through TikTok as well. So what's that? So how's that going to affect business? It's very anti-capitalist as well, which goes back to what I said earlier, that it's very it's very communist, this bill is.
Yeah, very.
So
yeah,
hopefully it doesn't pass. I have a feeling it will pass, though, especially if Trump's not in office right now. So
yeah,
they may try to ram it in there like they always do. But with that said, folks, Aaron, last thoughts?
No, that I think we've killed the horse. He is dead.
The horse is dead. All right, folks, with that said, stay tuned. I got a message for you at the end of this. But until next time, y'all have a blessed day and a blessed week. God bless.